So, Mike, can you tell us just a little bit about, how the Christian faith has impacted and maybe even changed how you work? I'm not sure.
Look, thanks, Victor. And I'm going to use four examples of how I've used the principles in the Bible in my work life. I've not necessarily quoted from the Bible. I only did that once when I was addressing my staff at a conference. But these are the four things that have helped to sort of lead my thinking in the workplace. The first is under the heading of humility. So I've always been of the view that as Jesus says to us, be humble, and I've tried to practice that, and I had a little notice on my desk which stayed there all of my time. I've got the same little note on my desk at home, be humble. And let me give you an example. In my workplace when I was the Auditor General of Tasmania, we often thought we knew more than our clients did. We often thought when we were auditing a particular program that we knew better than they did. And that was a very serious mistake I often mentioned to my staff. They know their business better than we do, and they will always know their business better than we do. We can add value to that, but don't assume that we know more than they do. I'm sure you've all in your workplaces come across this concept of values. We've got to have values, they're going to drive the business and so on. And often I see discussions around values that are written down on a piece of paper and don't go anywhere. And I think the Royal Commission into the banking sector in the recent times has given examples of where values-driven businesses don't work, unless you actually practice what you're preaching. For me, the values were, and I'll come back to why the Bible is important in a moment, but one of the most important values for me was to be bold. It's no good being in a senior position in a workplace if whenever things get a bit tough, you give in. Lots of examples of that I can give you. We wrote some reports in my time, in my role, where we got severely criticized before those reports ever became public. My question then was, do I take the easy route or do I take the tough route? And invariably, the tough route works out better in the end. An example is some work we did on threatened species where the minister and the senior head of the agency encouraged us very strongly not to publish that report. Well, we went ahead anyway, and all of our recommendations were implemented and resulted in improvements. So be bold. I didn't know we were going to talk today about the issue of the third of the Ten Commandments, which is love your neighbour. In those discussions about values, the one that we often forget about is that one about love your neighbour. I was at a conference about 18 months ago where the discussion of values came up. And I asked the question of the group, all business people, why isn't love your neighbour one of the values we should be persevering with? Somebody in the audience said, hooray, and it was the Bishop Gondi. Not surprising that he would say hooray. Look, and the last one for me in terms of my sort of using the Bible to, or the principles in the Bible to run what I do, or I did, was to be caring. So again, love your neighbour. I've worked in workplaces where there had been 4 staff, 40 staff, 180 staff, and 15,000 staff. And guess what? In all of those, what was the biggest issue you had to deal with? The people stuff. Invariably, that's what I found anyway. I had a situation in my office where a young lady had some real challenges. She was not performing at all well. We couldn't work out what the problems were. We kept on criticizing and so on, until I sat down with her and said, look, what can I do to help you to see what the problems are and can I better understand what you're going through? That resulted in me meeting with her psychiatrist. I didn't know she was seeing a psychiatrist. She gave me permission to do so. And we then developed a plan to take back to the office to talk to all of the staff about depression and those sorts of issues, which is what she was going through, and we didn't understand it. That sort of was part of my trying to be caring of all of the people that work for me, whether they be the junior member of staff or the most junior.
Thanks, Mike. That is fantastic. Ant, tell us a bit about both your work as a doctor and as a mother.
Yeah, so Victor asked me to speak about my part-time job and my full-time job. So I'll tell you a bit about my part-time job first. So I'm trained as a doctor. I work as a GP. I work at Headspace in town with young people, so 12 to 25-year-olds with mental health problems. And I also teach at the University of Tasmania, so I run the general practice rotation and do some teaching and research there. And I think as a doctor, the way that knowing Jesus has made a difference is that my identity doesn't have to rest in my work. To get to a certain point in medical training, you just have to throw yourself into it, and you don't have much choice about how much time and energy you devote to it to be actually good at your job. But because my identity isn't in my work, but it's in Christ, I can ask for help when I don't know, and I can cope with stress in a really different way, I think, to my colleagues, which is actually really helpful for me. So it's okay not to know stuff as a doctor, but as a Christian, I feel very comfortable that it doesn't define who I am, and that's helpful for me. I'm also not weighed down by the sadness of the world that I work in. Youth mental health is a sad place, and I feel like because I know Jesus, I know that God is bigger than that, that Jesus has conquered sin and death and sadness and illness, and that those things aren't forever. And so that gives me a little bit of extra hope as I work. And I think it frees me up just to have compassion and to just do my job and to do it well and care for those in God's image, like Victor talked about. That's who people are. So that's my part-time work. My full-time work, from which there is no annual leave and no time off in lieu and no bonuses when you do well, is a job as a mum. And it's actually way more important than anything else I do with my time. And I think the two things that I've been reflecting on as I've been thinking about parenting, you know, over the last 5 years, I think I have to worry less about my children than I know other parents might, because I know God is good. I know God loves my kids. I know God is working for good in them. And so I feel like I'm freed up from some of those parenting anxieties that that might exist for other parents. A little bit, I still worry. The really big thing for me is God's forgiveness for my failure. I don't always do the best job. I'm tired and I say the wrong thing and I don't make good decisions for my children. And I know all parents will understand what I mean when I'm talking about that. But I know that in Jesus there's forgiveness for my failure. I can say sorry to my kids and I can say sorry to God, and I know that those things are dealt with. And there's real hope for transformation. It's not like I'm not stuck with my faults and my character flaws. There is hope for transformation because of what Jesus has done for us and the Holy Spirit's work in us as Christians. And again, so that helps me to just kind of do the job and live with hope that it's going to be okay, and that my kids will be okay too. That's me.